Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. The Law Office of Pasco, Tashman, and Walker presents National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Tool. We're featuring national and international news and politics. National Detroit is your connection to the nation and world affairs from the Motor City. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Harold, how are you today?
Michael, I'm doing very well. It is Wednesday. I'm very glad that we are now at the, what do they call that, Wednesday hump day.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see my way clear now through Thursday, Friday.
Yes, absolutely. We are halfway there. We thank you for joining us this evening. We've got a lot to talk about today. Pasco, Tashman & Walker is your law firm right here on National Detroit Weekly. Call for free, no obligation consultations. The number is 248-353-7750. And I like to go over the list of items, because if you recognize something on here that you need help on, or even if it's not, call Attorney Cliff Pascal at Pascal Tashman & Walker. You don't have to go searching or Googling for a law firm. We've got one for you at 248-353-7750. Auto, truck, accidents, workers' compensation, Social Security disability, veterans' benefits, child custody cases, child support, unemployment law, business litigation, probate, and estate planning. That's one thing, you know, planning for the future. Criminal and DUI defense and bankruptcy. Call Attorney Cliff Pascal. PT, are you down with PTW? Find out about that. 248-353-7750. Also, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction. For all your realty and construction needs, it's just one number, and you can reach both of them at one number. And this includes, if you're in the foreclosure process, call Colony Realty. If you need some work done, call Columbus Construction. Some of the things that Columbus Construction does is flooring. In addition to all other home remodeling, roofing work, tile and security doors, painting inside and outside, electrical work, plumbing. If you've got neat kitchen cabinets replaced, call Columbus Construction. They have over 25 years of service. Call 313-247-7231. Again, that's 313-247-7231. Now's a good time to think about what you're going to do for vacation. Winter is a great time to go on vacation. And, of course, you can plan for next summer. Discovery Tours and Cruises specializes in group travel. They specialize in travel, group travel on cruises, the Caribbean, day trips, international trips. They're also part of the Women Who Wine series. They can set up a trip to Cuba. You know, Cuba's open. It's time you can go to Cuba now. Cuba, Costa Rica, Dubai. You know, my mom used to live in Cuba. She used to work. She used to live in Costa Rica, too. Dubai, I'd like to get there one day. Jamaica, I've been to Jamaica. Punta Cana, Europe, those are two places I'd like to go. Discovery Tours and Cruises connects you to the world. Connecting worlds through travel, the number is 248-678-4267. Again, Discovery Tours and Cruises, 248-678-4267. One more thing I want to talk to you about before we talk about some topics, including the first U.S. presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I can't wait to get started on that. But before we do that, I want you to know that American Standard Roofing is ready for you to call them right now. They have certified crews on standby, free estimates, financing is available. And it's not just roofs, it's gutters, skylights, sidings. They have the finest, most durable materials. They are Michigan's number one roofer. They have a design center there also to help you make your decisions, what color, what style, what materials. At American Standard Roofing, the number is 248-350-2323. Again, 248-350-2323. Harold, I listened to the debate. I watched the debate, and if you are undecided, like the Vice President Joe Biden says, we don't know what else to tell you. If you can't make up your mind now, if you haven't made up your mind now, I mean the choices are perfectly clear. You got to get your act together if you don't know who you're going to vote for.
Well, Michael, the thing about it is I hear a lot of people say that they can't get a level of excitement for either candidate. Of course, Trump has his detractors, particularly in the African-American community. Hillary Clinton continues to have her detractors also, and trust is a major thing that she is grappling with at this point. However, as it relates to the debate which took place two nights ago.
Oh, that's right. It was two nights ago.
You do not understand that Hillary Clinton walked away with a slam dunk, then you don't know debate.
Right.
I had an opportunity to, you know, just look at it again and take over some snippets. And, you know, you looked at some of the outtake cuts. And one of the things that I focused on was the fact that when the debate began, I thought that Donald Trump did a good job of bringing the fire, you know, keeping the pace up, putting Mrs. Clinton's feet close to the fire. However, after about 30 minutes, when there were some specifics, which Mr. Trump lacks in terms of specifics, sticking to points, answering questions, being able to
tell the truth,
justifiable statistics, and, of course, tell the truth. Particularly when they started talking about stamina, and that may have been a little bit later in the deal, but when Hillary Clinton started talking about her stamina being questioned,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, she shared with him what it's like to sit for hours on end in Senate hearings.
And travel around the world.
Travel around the world, sit in
negotiations,
meetings, negotiations
yes.
and things of that sort. She brought the fire.
Yes.
And when she
yes.
said that, you know, Mr. Trump has indicated that she prepared for the debate, and she did indeed prepare for the debate, and she, not only that, prepared to be president. At that point, I thought Mr. Trump lost it. All of the other questions that were pointed at him were very, in terms of his answers, they weren't clear, they weren't concise. As a matter of fact, they weren't even part of the narrative. So I had trouble trying to figure out where Mr. Trump was going.
Yeah, I think also that it was ironic that he was questioning her health, and at the debate, this wheezing or irregular breathing came into question. Mm-hmm. It's as though Donald Trump was having some sort of allergy reaction or something was going on. I don't know if it's his nervousness. I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something, maybe it's a nervous tick that kicks in at a certain point.
I'm not sure, and I know that there were questions.
But I've heard it before.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, Mrs. Clinton has had to justify or talk about the cough that she
I know she's had a cough, yeah.
The pneumonia situation. That was pointed out. But the fact is, in terms of him being rattled and not being able to recover was very significant. And the fact also, too, I thought that he tried to run roughshod over the moderator, Lester Holt. And,
yeah.
you know, however you look at it, people will say, well, Lester did not, he wasn't capable of reeling in Mr. Trump. He was not capable of controlling the dynamics of the debate. I guess you could probably argue that.
Yeah, I think he wanted Lester Holt did not want to be a part of the debate.
Yes.
And I think he wanted to kind of sit back a little bit and stay out of the, and he didn't want the headlines to be Lester Holt did this. But you know what? He became a headline anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he did wrong was he allowed Donald Trump to continue on and going and interrupting and going over time. He should have started to rein him in and say, no, we've got to move on. Absolutely not, Mr. Trump. No, we cannot. You know, that's what I think was missing.
I think his preparation team did a very poor job in getting him to understand the dynamics of debate. Mr. Trump is probably a guy who is very much accustomed to sitting at the head of the conference table, the corporate table, controlling the narrative and putting the narrative out there and manipulating it to the degree that he wants it to be swayed toward his decision-making. That is not the case in debates. Debates are designed to have two opposing points of view being expressed during a specific time frame. In this particular time frame, we're talking 90 minutes. I looked at my watch at the end of the debate, and it was about 10:44. So that means that they ran about 14 minutes longer. And Holt continued to reference the fact that they were running over time.
And I attribute all of that to Donald Trump.
And I think his debate team did a very poor job. One of the things about debate, I'm not saying that I am a debater or that I know a lot about debate,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things you want to take away from a debate, even during the course of the debate itself, is you want to streamline your answers in such a way that you are able to walk away from that exchange delivering specific
mm-hmm.
points of view in a superlative manner.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump did not do that. He kept lingering.
Actually made it worse.
You can talk too much, Michael.
Yeah. And then he went on Fox News the next morning, this morning,
mm-hmm.
and rambled on about, continued to respond to some of the points that Hillary brought up at the debate and made it even worse. He was not prepared for this debate.
Mm-hmm.
He was not prepared. And still, we have no specifics from Donald Trump. All of his responses, most of them were frivolous and not to the point, and mm-hmm. usually took on some sort of a personal tone at some point. And, but they were not focused and dedicated to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He was not answering the questions, and we still don't know, you know, what his answers were on a number of issues.
Well, another thing that was put out there is the fact that Mr. Trump has had between 4 to 6 bankruptcies, depends on how you look at it. He has avoided paying taxes.
I think that tax, Hillary brought up the tax,
mm-hmm.
the lack of a tax return, public tax return. I think is going to be his undoing.
Well,
the problem with the women's issues, because
mm-hmm.
that's back again.
Mm-hmm.
The racism, that issue is back,
mm-hmm.
thanks to the former Miss Universe.
Right.
So those
I heard
issues,
you on the radio today.
Yes,
as a matter of fact.
And I had made a comment last night while I was listening to it on the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
Very heartbreaking to hear.
What do you call her, Miss Piggy?
Miss Piggy. And she's in great shape now.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised when she walked in the studio
mm-hmm.
and sat down, and I'm like, is that's who Donald Trump was making fun of?
And that, no, you saw that
even
exchange.
This is a few years later,
mm-hmm.
and she still looks great.
You saw that interview.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did she indicate that Mr. Trump uttered racist comments in the company of numerous people
mm-hmm.
about Latinos, she also indicated that he continually made racist comments against blacks.
Yes, and that was very hurtful. I mean, I could just imagine people like me sitting there, African Americans all over the country, sitting there listening
mm-hmm.
to that conversation, and it was a glimpse into Donald Trump and his real personality.
Mm-hmm.
I was very hurt by what she said, those comments that he made years ago. And, you know, that was a glimpse into the back room,
mm-hmm.
you know, the closed door. You know, and she was afraid to even say and repeat some of the things that he said. And then she said, and just to think that he's visiting the churches now, you know, it was very hurtful. He did not prepare for this debate. And where is Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager? She has been absent largely over the past 48 hours since the debate. And I think somebody said she's probably in her hotel room with shot glasses all over the floor because she's been drinking herself into a stupor over this, because he's not following orders. He's not following the script. He's not following suggestions. And for all the work, and I don't like her and what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you that. But she has really helped his campaign since
mm-hmm.
she's been on board. And I think she's very upset. I was even thinking last night, we may see some resignations from the Trump campaign or some defections from the Trump campaign as a result of the debate.
We're 48 hours out now.
Yeah.
And
that's
a possibility. I'm not sure if that would actually take place at this point in time. And another thing,
I think it's a possibility. I think you maybe, you know, it's 48 hours out. Maybe just giving some time to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still think there's an opportunity for somebody like Kellyanne to say, you know, I've had enough, because she's a professional. And, you know, this may ruin her career.
Well,
her credibility may be shot. And if she continues to help him
mm-hmm.
through this, you know, there's a price that you can pay for being on the team of somebody
absolutely.
Like this.
Absolutely.
You know,
if she had given any thought to the fact that she thought she may be able to control the bull
in
the China shop, she found that to be wrong.
I think, I'll go one step further. If this something damaging happens again between now and November 8th,
mm-hmm.
something like this debate and the interviews that he has given since, I think we will be seeing a very high level shakeup in his campaign, including Kellyanne's stepping down.
And also too, the beauty queen, the pageant queen, that story actually just began to filter today. So as you know, you and I both know, news stories have a shelf life. And the shelf life on this particular story has just begun. And it could be a situation where it's one of those stories that takes on a life of its own. We'll see how that works out in the next day or so. But I think it's going to be increasingly more damaging. And then also, too, what I'm asking myself at this point, having been in close confines with the Trump team and Mr. Trump himself, and to hear these utterances come about minorities, particularly blacks and Latinos, I wonder now, Michael, where our black church leaders are on this. Those individuals
yes.
who have come up with the endorsements, those individuals who say that we're tired of being really not being considered by the Democratic Party, and we want to make a different type of a move. We want to assert ourselves politically, and we think that Donald Trump is the person that can help us with that. If indeed they really believe that, in the light of these new accusations. They aren't new accusations. They've been, you know, bandied before. But in light of her expressing them in such a public forum, what the preachers are saying now.
I know, and that is part of that team. I said that you may see some defections and the shakeout. I think it's just beginning over this.
Mm-hmm.
You have some diehards like Giuliani and Hannity. He even called out Hannity's name
mm-hmm.
a few times. And, you know, Hannity loves this. Sean Hannity loves this
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
Because this is going to help his ratings. And, you know, he's one of those people that Donald Trump could do no wrong. How could that – how could you continue – nobody's perfect. But how can people like Sean Hannity continue to defend everything that Donald does? Anything. Unbelievable. And that's why I say that if you are undecided about the selection, you don't know who to vote for right now between Hillary or Donald, what do you want out of life?
Hannity and Limbaugh have to defend their status quo. If Donald Trump actually wins the election, then that is a feather in the cap that they can boast about going forward for the next 4 years.
Well,
I don't think that's likely.
No.
But they still have to defend the status quo in light of the fact that if Hillary wins, they'll be able to have an axe to continue grind going forward into the next 4 years. So they've got to, you know, put grist into that mill so they'll be able to have some bona fide discussion about, you know, the lack of what Obama did over his 8 years or in their mind. And then also, you know, what they feel as though are the Clinton shortcomings going forward 4 years. So that's what they are.
But they also those staunch diehards that support Donald Trump will also have to answer for it when he does something impeachable within the first 6 months, which is the longest I think that he will survive as president. Honestly, I really think I'll give him 6 months before there is an impeachment,
mm-hmm.
indictment, a resignation. There are so many variables because we really don't know what's in the tax returns. And Mr. Trump has so many unnatural relationships across the world
mm-hmm.
through his money and dealings that as an American president, he will be compromising his position, his position as president, his position as a representative of the United States. I think some of his decisions. Look at how he makes decisions now.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven to us during this campaign that he cannot make rational decisions on logical thought. These decisions are emotional and trivial. Those are the type of decisions he makes right now.
Logic, Trump. I'm not sure if those two are, you know, if you can balance them in the same sentence. I'm not really sure about that. But this man is completely, in my estimation, devoid of logic. He is a bully. Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton said that much. He has indicated that he uses a bully pulpit to advance his own personal agenda. I think that Donald Trump is a person who has the mindset. I call it us four and no more. I know there are more than four people in his family, but typically when you think of a family, you think of the mother, father, two children, and what have you. You know, and what is the concern? Concern is to make sure that that family, that nuclear family, is able to advance, have jobs, can put food on the table, us foe and no mo. I think that is the logic, if any, that Donald Trump tends to use as it relates to, you know, how he is advancing his agenda. Everybody in his family is a genius. All of his sons have something that they are genius about. He talks about even being, you know, adept at electronics and things of that sort. That very well may be the case. But what type of people are you placing around you that would actually be part of your cabinet? That won't be yes people.
Right.
Who's going to be able to come into the Oval Office and tell you, President Trump, if it gets to that, this is ill-advised. This particular policy will not work because of these reasons and not be shouted down. Those are some of the things that I would like to know.
You know,
do we have a caller?
But before we take a break, let me just make sure before we take a break, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to tell you who my Baghdad Bob of the week is this week.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one of those Trump surrogates that I want to throw under the bus.
Okay.
And then, just say something a little bit more about some of the undecideds.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about going into the other half of the program. I've gotten some things written down. As I told you the other day, I had 7 pages worth of notes.
Yes, and you know, all I want to give is my award to Baghdad Bob of the week, and I'd like to listen to some of your notes too.
Okay.
on the debate. You're listening to National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Tool. We really appreciate you being here and tuning in. And of course, you know, chime in anytime. You can call in and you can listen to them anytime. Of course, you know, just go to my Facebook page, Michael Van Tool, VanTull, Michael. And you can listen to all the other programs. I know, Harold, I believe that a lot of people just like to listen to the conversation, but because I get a report of, how many calls that, you know, when people call in to listen to the program. So I know you all are listening. I know that. But, you know, we'd like you to call in sometimes, you know, call in and, you know, make a comment. We'll be happy to talk to you. Like I said, this is National Detroit Weekly. Brought to you by the law offices of Pasco, Tashman, and Walker. Pasco, Tashman, and Walker, they are leaders in loyalty and longevity. They've been around for a long time. Pasco, Tashman, and Walker is a full-service national law firm committed to providing the best possible legal services to meet your specific needs. They are experts in professional negligence, personal injury, probate and estate planning, labor and employment law, personal matters like, misdemeanor, drunk driving offenses, bankruptcy, consumer and landlord issues, divorce, child custody and support. If you're, you know, let me tell you something, and every once in a while I focus on something, but those of you who, you know what I'm talking about, if you started a business and you got a partner, or, you know, you got a partnership going, let me tell you, you better have an attorney to look over those documents and put it together for you, because, you all might be friends now, but let something happen to that business and watch all the lawsuits start flying. I'm telling you, it's all nice and happy when you first set it all up and shake hands and go out for a beer. You know, you started your company. But if you don't have a partnership agreement, if you don't have legal documents explaining who can do what and who has the authority to do what and who has what percentage ownership, all that stuff, you need that. I'm telling you. I know about it. I've been in banking for 32 years and I've seen it, Harold. I've seen the problems that pop up when there's a problem with ownership and the company's failing or
mm-hmm.
the company is succeeding, and you need to protect yourself.
If a principal person passes away,
that's right. Who's next? Who's in charge? You know, you don't want the family coming in and taking over and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look what you invested in it. So, you know, business litigation, dispute resolution, negotiation, contracts, consumer law. That's what Attorney Cliff Pasco and Pasco Tashman and Walker can help you with. All right, after I said all that, here's the number, 248-7750. tell them you heard it on National Detroit Weekly, 248-353-7750. And Discovery Tours and Cruises. This is your connection to the world, connecting worlds through travel. They specialize in group travel. It's nothing like traveling with a group of friends to some place like Mexico or Hawaii. Let me tell you, it is fun. I've done it before. I've done it with a big group of people, and you have so much fun. You're so relaxed, and you're excited to be in a different country, but you're still, when you go out in the evening, in, you know, let's say you're out in Mexico City and you've got like 20 people with you, you feel good, you feel safe.
Absolutely.
And you're having fun. So that's what Discovery Tours and Cruises can do for you. The number is 248-678-4267. Look, at Ocean Financial Services, you can get help or referrals to credit advisors if you want to rebuild your credit. Ocean Financial Services can put you in touch with credit advisors, credit repair specialists. If you want a bank to deal with and you just don't know, you know, so many banks out here, you want a recommendation from Ocean Financial, we can put you in touch with the banks that we recommend. That's on our recommended list. An investment firm, if you want to invest, you know, maybe you don't want to invest with a bank. You want to invest somewhere else. We've got investment companies you can invest with. You want to buy a used car. You know, on 8 Mile, there are 1,000 used car dealerships, literally. But maybe you want a good, reliable, reputable used car dealership. Ocean Financial can put you in touch. Realtors, residential lenders, commercial lenders, if you're looking for operating capital for your business, a line of credit or cash flow. And one more thing. If you're looking for office space, Ocean Financial can help you get some office space. It's one number, does it all, 248-516-8300. 248-516-8300. Now's a good time to get your roof fixed at American Standard Roofing. The number is 248-350-2323. Again, 248-350-2323. Let them know that you heard it here on National Detroit Weekly. And finally, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction for all your construction needs. If you're having problems with your home and you're getting threatening letters, you can call Colony Realty. If you want some work done around your house or business, roofing, remodeling, flooring, tiles, security doors, electrical, plumbing, kitchen cabinet, painting. They have over 25 years of experience. One number does it all for Colony Realty and Columbus Construction. It's 313-247-7231. And then, Harold, when we come back, I do want to share something. Franklin Wright Settlement is the oldest nonprofit agency in Metro Detroit. It's been around for over 134 years. Monique Marks is the CEO of Franklin Wright Settlement. They have two locations in the city near Charlevoix and Gratiot, and then the new offices in Midtown at Woodward and the Boulevard. I'm also affiliated with Franklin Wright, and we're going to be at Granite City in the Renaissance Center tomorrow. Granite City in the Renaissance Center. It's a very nice eating spot, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we conclude. But you're listening to National Detroit Weekly. It's an online radio program on Blog Talk Radio featuring national, international news, political commentary with blogger and radio veteran Harold Sullivan and myself, Michael Van Sewell.
Michael, one of the things that I really wanted to bring into the fold is the fact that Mr. Trump really made an issue of unemployment statistics during the debate, and there's some things that you really need to bring into focus. I would urge people, before I kind of get into some of the summary things that I wanted to share with our listeners, I would urge individuals to make sure you do independent studies. There is nothing like independent study and finding out for yourself. Mr. Trump indicated that jobs were going to be leaving from Ford Motor Company, and there is a division of Ford Motor Company where some of their smaller vehicles, the assembly operation is going to be going to Mexico. However, what he did not share is that some of the operations that is already there in Mexico will be brought back into the United States. So one particular model, which is a smaller vehicle, and you consider two mid-size or large-size vehicles, which will be coming back, are actually going to add to the workforce. But so those are some of the things that he kind of danced around. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is a great place to look in terms of understanding how the unemployment rates are calculated. Here's something interesting, and this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So if you're looking at how there are calculations with respect to how we get these percentages, 5.6%, Trump the other day said it was in excess of 10%. It says that shows the number of people 16 and over who are not in the labor force, that is those who are neither working nor looking for work. If you take that number of people in this category at the beginning of President Barack Obama's term and compare it to the number today, it gives a sense of how many people have shied away from the workforce in the wake of the last recession. In January 2009, there were 80.5 million Americans 16 and over who were not in the labor force. Today, that number is slightly below 93 million. Okay? So, the number not in the labor force has increased by about 12.5 billion. My point here, when you look at the age grouping, these are individuals who are generally speaking not heads of households. These are individuals who are not individuals who are earning income for children or who are bringing home the bacon, as we say. So we look at those figures and you can extrapolate them over the number of years and you can see where there are variances with respect to when we have an unemployment rate now of about 5.6%, but there's a realistic workforce that that particular number doesn't really focus in on. The real workforce are individuals who come into a older range of individuals who actually are individuals when we start looking at those individuals who are 18 and older or college graduate. Right now, Michael, what you are finding is there are more and more people finding work. If you do an unscientific study or research, just driving around in this community where we are right now, Southfield, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, there are signs of almost everywhere that people are looking to hire individuals. Mm-hmm. And I know of a warehouse that is looking for individuals right now. As a matter of fact, I happened to be at one of those places a couple of days ago, and I saw a young woman who is what they call a TTO driver. That's short for tractor trailer operator.
Mm.
This young woman was actually driving tractor trailers around this facility, which was a warehouse. And I just spoke to her for a moment, and she says they're even looking for more tractor trailer operator drivers, mm-hmm. and women are encouraged to apply. So there, wow. I'm not saying that the job picture is the rosiest ever,
mm-hmm.
but I think that we are now in a position and we're now in a time that if you want a job, you can get a job. Now, is it going to be exactly the job that you want? Is it going to be exactly the job that, you know, you don't have to, you know, get a second job to kind of make the ends meet? Maybe not. But the employment factor is weighing in advance of those who are in the employment picture looking for work. Another thing, too, I spoke to a mutual friend of ours. I didn't speak to him. I saw something that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, or he said to the readers, in light of all of the Fraternal Order of Police endorsements that Mr. Trump has received over the last 3 to 4 weeks or so,
mm-hmm.
that there's a possibility that you may be able to expect the DPOA, the Detroit Police Officers Association, to make an endorsement on behalf of Mr. Trump any time now.
Really?
Really. I don't know, but this person is very knowledgeable and was, as of recent, a member of the Detroit Police Department himself. So that kind of tells you where we are with respect to the representation of individuals who are on the force in the city of Detroit and other communities like Baltimore and Tulsa, Oklahoma, Memphis, Los Angeles, Seattle, those kinds of things. These individuals who are making these endorsements for these police officer associations, generally speaking, are individuals who are white.
I'm not comfortable with those alliances. I'm really not. I don't really believe that in the major cities, you know, well, first of all, Donald Trump is talking about the only thing I've ever heard him say was law and order, and that we would need to more policing. And if that's the answer, then I think we're going to be in for more of what we're dealing with right now.
Let's just be really honest and get down to where the rubber meets the road. You and I are law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
We're not anti-police. I don't think you're anti-police.
Absolutely not.
I'm not anti-police. If someone breaks into my house, that's the first call I'm going to make. I'm going to call the police department.
I've got relatives that are police officers.
However, you'd have to be crazy to think that there have not been infiltrations of individuals on major police departments throughout the country and even in the smaller communities that carry the point of view that they want to be able to stop and frisk at will. And if resistance is offered to them, they want to use maximum force. We have these yahoos now on police departments throughout the country, and that's why we're seeing so many killings of unarmed African-American men.
You know, I was watching one of those videos of one of the shootings, and what I saw was the police rushing to the scene, but as soon as they, as they're getting out of the car, it looks like their only aim is to, not to find out what's going on or check to see who's in danger, who's not, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, and things like that. Immediately, they are descending on the scene to stop, injure, and kill somebody right away. It's almost like you would imagine if they said a tiger escaped from the cage, and as soon as they get there, their aim is to neutralize the tiger, kill the tiger. And that's how they're treating human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They get on the scene and immediately it's neutralize and kill.
I think the tiger would have better chances than the black male.
They find some sort of
tranquilizer gun to take the tiger out before they would the African-American man.
You know, the U.S. Army had to pull a tweet down today. They made a mistake and it slipped out. It leaked out. The United States Army posted something on Twitter today, and it says Donald Trump lied 87 times last week, or once every 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled the tweet down. It slipped out. It says Trump lies once every 3 minutes, 15 seconds. That's who we're dealing with right now. That's who we're dealing with right now.
Well, he lives in an alternate universe in which he is king and presides over everything and everyone. So
now, Harold,
he has his own truth, is what I'm saying.
Yes. What do you think about Hillary Clinton? How did she do?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because under one of the subtopics of the debate that we saw, first one, we've already talked about achieving prosperity and jobs and things of that sort. Now, let's take a look at one of the subtopics, which was race relations. Hillary Clinton, in contrast to Mr. Trump, suggested that we need to repair the breach between the police and the communities, and that there must be a degree of sensitivity so that we need to be able to understand what the role and the function of the police department is, and the police department must understand the communities that they police. Once upon a time, even here in Detroit, there was a residency requirement. When Coleman Young was mayor, there was a residency requirement. In other words, what do I mean by that? Those individuals who served on the police department in the city of Detroit had to be residents here. That brought about a sense of urgency with respect to servicing the community, because you live here, all right? But if you police in Detroit and there's an alienation of sensitivity of those individuals to whom you are policing, you look down upon them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see them as equal. And should there be a situation where you feel that there is a threat or a perceived threat and deadly force is used, what we're finding now is that the majority community, the police departments, they are not getting convictions. They are not, in many instances, they're not even getting indictments. So these are things that we need to really do. Hillary Clinton did address that in terms of understanding the nature of sensitivity between police and community.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that she brought up. On the alternate parallel, Mr. Trump feels that there needs to be an opportunity to stop and frisk at will on behalf of the police department. I see that as an extreme problem. I see that as a very extreme problem, because what you do is you get a police license.
We're going backwards.
You're going backwards.
This has already proven to be a failed policy. It's already been proven to be a failed policy.
Look,
and
if you ask Floyd Dent about that, he can tell you. That's the gentleman who was stopped in Inkster, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Bludgeoned and beaten mercilessly.
Yeah.
And then there was video footage of the officer, the specific officer, and other officers who were in the at the police station, actually washing blood off of their hands and their uniforms, giving each other fist bumps for a job well done, and making various commentary about the race of Mr. Dent.
I'm telling you, yep, we're gonna go backwards, and but I thought Hillary Clinton did a great job last night. I know she was very happy about it. She was just beaming,
mm-hmm.
and she deserves it. And I've heard all the threats from the Donald Trump camp that the next debate, they're going to really clobber her. But the next debate is a town hall, and that's not going to work.
October the 9th.
It's not going to work. The vice presidential debate's on October 4th, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know. We might see some fireworks, but those two guys are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pence and Tim Kaine.
Both who are or have been elected governors.
Yeah, and they're very different styles. Those two are just as different from each other as Hillary and Trump are. It's an exciting campaign. That's why I don't understand why people are. I can see if you're undecided about all the people, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, Democratic Republican. But if you're looking at just Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it's very simple. It's very easy. They're so far apart that it's very simple. Harold, I just want to – I noticed we were down to within 15 minutes of the program, but every week I like to give an award to the Donald Trump surrogate or advisor or supporter that makes a fool of themselves. And this week it's Scottie Nell Hughes. She's on the Trump team, and she gets the award for not standing up for herself, for not standing up for women, for not standing up for decency, and trying to defend Donald Trump's tirade against the Latina model that we discussed a few years ago that was the subject that Hillary Clinton brought up. And you saw how Donald Trump kept saying, "Where did you get that? Where did you get that?" He was so concerned about that information. And Hillary, I think that came out of nowhere for him. I mean, it was like a blow to the back of the head. He never saw it coming. And he was so stunned. He kept asking Hillary Clinton, "Where did you get that?" But Scotty Nell Hughes wins the Baghdad Bob of the Week. Baghdad Bob, as you know, was Saddam Hussein's information minister, known for hysterically funny lies about Iraqi forces in 2003. And Baghdad Bob, Saddam Hussein's information minister, even as U.S. troops were driving in Humvees towards the capital of Iraq, Baghdad, that he kept saying that Saddam Hussein was firmly in control and in charge of everything, and that the U.S. forces are nowhere near Baghdad. And you can hear the engines from the trucks,
right,
from the U.S. artillery in the distance coming towards Baghdad as he was addressing the media, talking about the United States forces are not coming to Baghdad. We're defeating them. They're hundreds of miles away, and you can hear the tires. You can hear the trucks. You can hear the U.S. infantry coming. You can hear the jets, you know. And that's what those Trump surrogates remind me of. They're just blind to reality. They're ignorant of reality, and they're living in their own little world. And not until Hillary Clinton is opening the door to the White House in January will they believe that she, you know, will win.
They see themselves as passengers on the Titanic. The ship is sinking, and they need to find a safe place. But in so doing, before they actually find themselves getting off the ship, they've got to lay landmines so that Trump still looks good. It's like those individuals, the guys from the orchestra who were still playing as people were being lowered down into the ocean on the lifeboats.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this contingent is doing. They're continuing to paint as rosy a picture as they possibly can when there is absolutely nothing to be rosy about.
But, Harold, some of them are so bad. Mm-hmm. Some of these Trump surrogates will go down with the ship. They actually think that since some of the passenger compartments are still dry, then they can go downstairs and sit quietly and be safe before the ship goes under. That's how naive I think they are, that they can actually go in a nice dry spot down on the third floor and sit down, because at that point there's no water there.
At this
and
point,
they feel safe.
I don't want to suggest that there is no opportunity for Mr. Trump at all, because you never want to.
We don't want to be overconfident.
We don't want to count chickens before they've actually hatched.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, race is the critical factor in this particular campaign. Make no bones about it. I think that the lines have been drawn, and, you know, in many instances you're going to find that, you know, those individuals, and I'm not to say that people who support Trump are racist from the get-go. I would not paint with so broad a brush, because elections, of course, are built upon what individuals feel as though a candidate can or cannot do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said he's going to, you know, taxes, that remains to be seen. However, you know, he's got AIDS actors. I wonder if people are scratching their head and asking themselves that question.
They've got to be. They've got to be.
But I wanted to just bring this up quickly because I know time is mm-hmm. moving quickly. As you know, here in southeastern Michigan, we have Eastern Michigan University and also the University of Michigan. Last week at Eastern Michigan University, there were letters or literature that were dropped on campus at strategic locations and inside of buildings and inside of dorms, urging white students to no longer be afraid to be white, to stand
what
up.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
They want them to stand up and embrace their whiteness as though, you know.
I thought they already were when they get up every morning.
So, you know, the same thing occurred at University of Michigan just a few days ago. And so that was quickly addressed. But as we can see, and University of Michigan is one of the bastions of liberality, if mm-hmm. you will, mm-hmm. if that's a word, of being liberal. Let's say that much. We know that's accurate. But it's funny how individuals who may be rogue and working outside of the structure are using race to call attention to what they consider to be the viability of Donald Trump. And again, I ask the question particularly of the black preachers. Why is it now, here we are, 42 days before Election Day, have not addressed these issues? Mr. Black Preacher, Mr. Mm-hmm. Person who has, you know, encouraged Mr. Trump to come into the church, use your pulpit as an opportunity to stand there and actually just lie to your parishioners mm-hmm. and tell you things that are not true.
Yeah, let's hear from them now. Let's hear from some of these black pastors that have been supporting Trump and opening their doors to him, not only here in Detroit, but in Cleveland and around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from them now. But it's strange. They're kind of quiet. I'm listening here, and I don't hear anybody saying anything. I don't even hear Donald Trump's campaign manager.
Well, that contingent of black preachers that has been so vocal up to this point, they're mighty quiet now.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear from them. I'd like to understand what their thought process is on continuing their endorsement, if they're going to withdraw it at some point in time. And it'd be interesting to see, actually 41 days now, because this day is done, out before the election day. Oh, speaking of that, people need to be aware. Don't mess around. If you've not registered to vote up to this point in time, you need to do so by October the 8th.
That's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's a short
so
time.
We're running out of time.
Let me go to my calendar on my phone here and just see how that works out. What's the time frame?
You know, while you're doing that, I just want to mention this is National Detroit Week. And here, Michael Van Tool with Harold Sullivan. Look, tomorrow, Franklin Wright Settlement is going to be down at Granite City, and 10% of any bill will be donated that you generate will be donated to Franklin Wright Settlement. Call Franklin Wright to get your pass. So you need this pass in order to for the 10% of your bill to be donated to Franklin Wright Settlement. Call Franklin Wright Settlement at 313-579-1000. And, of course, you know, Franklin Wright Settlement has been a strong force in helping the community help itself for over 135 years. 579-1000, 313, so to get that. But we're running out of time, but okay.
October 7th, that's the drop date.
In order
to register
for this year's election to vote on November 8th.
There's still time.
So what's the date again?
October 7th.
October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Harold, man, that hour is gone.
It went by so fast.
That hour, you didn't even get through all of your notes.
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Russia connection.
Oh, yeah.
I also wanted to talk to you about what teachers are saying. And I was in the company of some teachers just yesterday, and it was interesting to hear terms about Mr. Trump. They were in disbelief, and they just thought that it was funny that he would claim victory.
Great. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And don't forget, we're on every week, but you can go to Facebook, Michael Van Tool, and you can listen to all of our past programs. But we issue a new program every week, every Wednesday at 6:30. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Good night.